Well, good morning again. It's great to be back. And many of you know, we were gone over this week, and it was a blessing to be gone, but a blessing to be back. And so anyway, let's take our Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter number 12 today. Hebrews 12. Last week I had thought about, I'd asked Brother Jeff if he would teach for me, and I knew he had a lot of things to do. And then last Sunday, Brother Watson, I was going to ask him a class to teach, and I knew he was going to be away. And so I said, okay, must be the Lord wants me to teach. So that's why we're right here. I had to do it a little bit differently this week. I got a few hours to get away at the ranch there a little bit, and I had to use my iPad to do it all. And so my notes are really tiny today. This is so, it may not be very long. Good morning, come in. There's seats right over here, wherever you want to sit. Great to see you all with us today, too. But for those of you who are new with us, we're going through the book of Hebrews. And our theme has been Consider Him. This is our week 17 on it. And I said I wanted to finish in a few weeks. But this is one I didn't plan. This is a lesson I didn't plan. And this morning we're going to talk about considering God's children. Consider His children. And that's you, that's me, if we trust in Christ our Savior. There's some things that really dovetail with this lesson and what I heard this week at the ranch. And so I want to share a few things with you of that and to try to help you. But here in Hebrews chapter 12, right after we finished in verse number 4, picking up verse number 5, the Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." Now, he says, you've forgotten? Don't forget this. And this scripture here is taken from Proverbs chapter number 3. It's quoted from that. And the Bible says, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Can you say amen right there? If you had a father that chastened you, did you give him reverence after the chastening? All right, you can say amen right there. That's okay, it's Sunday school. You can do it in church too, that's all right. Sometimes it might be a mother who chastened you. You gave her reverence too, didn't you? But the Bible says, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Now notice it says Father of spirits there. That's something to really pay attention to. And live. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Say amen right there. We know that, don't we? It wasn't fun. But it says, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let's stop and pray again. Father, we thank you again this morning for our position that we have in Christ Jesus. And this morning we want to take that position at the throne of heaven. You tell us that we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I pray this morning that if there's any hindrance of any spirit that is unclean or evil spirit in this place, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and on the basis of his blood that he shed and the victory that he has over Satan and all over all principalities and powers of darkness, that we would have light and understanding as we look in the scriptures today. Thank you for the privilege that it is to hold in our hand your eternal word. Thank you that you do give us understanding into the words and into the truth here. And I pray as we learn this morning that we would walk in the truth, that we'd walk in the light as you're in the light. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for making us kings and priests because of what you did for us, Lord Jesus, on Calvary. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for what it's opened up for us in the heavenly places today. And may we, just like the people that we studied the last few weeks, by faith enter into all the promises and the rest and the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to begin by a quotation. This is by Andrew Murray. He said this. He said, "Suffering is meant by God to make us holy. Suffering is meant by God to make you holy, to make me holy." We know that God tells us to be holy as He's holy, don't we? You know, be holy, for I'm holy. And all of God's children, those that are born again, in our spirit, we know that we ought to be holy, and we're to be holy. You know, the wonderful thing about salvation is that God, being our Father, He chastens us because He loves us. And good parents who love their children will chasten them. And the Bible tells us that in Proverbs, you know, what father, if he loves his children, he's going to chasten them. We also know, when we look at King David, there's some children that he didn't chasten. He never said no to. And they became rebellious. And they were a heartache. And the Bible tells us to chasten our children. And if we do so, we'll have rest. When we follow God's instructions as far as correction is concerned, and God is a good father, and He nurtures us and He guides us, and the whole thing is that He wants us to be partakers of His holiness. And we know that according to John, 1 John chapter 3, that when we're born again, God's seed remains in us. We're born from above. And it's a wonderful thing. We got a brand new nature when we got born again. Now, 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, I lay this as a foundation this morning because I don't think we really understand it. What is made new when we get born again? Is it your body that gets made new? Thank you. No, it doesn't. Your body does not get new. Some of you who remember Mr. Hearns, he said, "I'm perfect." Well, I wish he'd qualified that, because Mr. Hearns was not perfect. He wore glasses, and I don't know, did he have hearing aids too? I know he wasn't perfect. His body is not perfect. Is it your soul that's made new? No, it's not. But what is made new when you're born again? It is your spirit. It is a spiritual birth, isn't it? Our spirit is renewed. It's born again. That's what comes alive. And somebody that is not born again and not saved, their spirit is not, they're not wholly whole, if you want to put it that way, because we're born again when His spirit renews our spirit. And that is the point at which we understand God things. In our spirit, because our spirit is born again. And that's the part that's made new. And that's the part that cannot sin, because I've been born again. All right? Now, you understand that. And I think we do, but we could go into a lot of verses on that. And I have several here. But that's the idea. So, God chastens us because He loves us, because we're His child. And if I wanted to go on to this, the part of us that sins is that part, that's the flesh. We know that. That's the part. Let me take you to that verse that says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation provide a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." So we know that we're tempted. And when does God make a way of escape? He makes a way of escape with the temptation. And how do I overcome that temptation? I take my place in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Because if I, in a moment with that temptation, my flesh wants to go after it, there's no escape. The escape is done away with. So when I, in my spirit, I say, "Lord Jesus, I take my place and my position in Christ Jesus right now over this. I have victory over it. I have victory over Satan. I have victory over temptation in Christ Jesus." It is in a person. The way of escape is in Christ Jesus. And I hope you understand this. I don't think I'm teaching anything new, because we've been talking about in Hebrews about Christ and about faith. The just shall live by how? Faith. We live by faith. We have victory by faith. We take our position in Christ in the heavenlies by faith. Remember, we're already there. We're already with Christ Jesus. Let me take it this way. Jesus Christ is the head, right? He is the head of the what? The body. Who's the body? The church. Okay? So we are his body. Spiritually, we are with him. In spirit, we are with Christ. We are one with Christ. So I gain victory over the devil, over indwelling sin, that old flesh, by faith in my spirit. That's the part that's saved. So God has to chasten us because sometimes we don't live spiritually, do we? Well, oftentimes we live more, it's sad, but we give into the flesh. We give into temptation. And so he has to chasten us so that we'll live like we're supposed to. We'll live a holy life in our spirit. And the spirit has victory over the flesh. And it does. So we die to the old man. We're alive in the new man. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 talks all about that. Okay? So we are no longer slaves to our fleshly nature. We've been taken, we're no longer slaves to it. The only reason why we are slaves to it is we say, well, I just have to sin. I have to give into it. You don't have to because you have a new nature. You have a new owner. You're under the dictatorship, if you want to put it, the rulership of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the one in my spirit I know I ought to obey. That's that good part. And that's therein comes the struggle, you see, the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. But if I yield to the spirit, I'll not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. Where do I yield to the spirit? At the throne. I take my position in Christ Jesus at the throne, at his place. And because of his blood, I am in Christ. I am no longer an old man. I'm to reckon that part dead. But I'm alive unto Christ. So you understand where I'm coming from this morning. Understand your position in Christ Jesus and where you are. So the great thing about our Heavenly Father is that his discipline is perfectly good. And it's perfectly fitted just for me. It's perfectly fitted for me. Somebody put it this way. It should comfort us that life is like a schoolhouse. And we are taught by the Father himself. He teaches us. And he has a curriculum that's suited just for us. And the outcome of the curriculum, of the correction, is a partaker of his holiness. I'll be just like him when I'm finished. You understand that? It's a wonderful thing that he's done for us. So let's look at some words here. I have in the lesson today, I have some verses. Contrast between two things. The Bible, first of all, I want you to look at verse number 5. The Bible says here that we are not to despise the chastening of the Lord, but we are to, verse 7 says, endure chastening. Don't despise it, but endure it. Now, there's not one of us, when we were children, who loved chastening. As a matter of fact, probably we despised it. To despise, I looked that up, we have deep contempt or repugnance for chastening. Right? We didn't look forward to it. As a matter of fact, if your parents forgot to give it to you, you were probably glad. I had sometimes like that in my life. Actually, when my dad forgot, you know, you fake sleeping in the car on the way home. You're going to get it when you get home. And it was too late. And I faked like I was sleepy and I didn't get it. So we despise it. We have a deep repugnance for chastening. We don't look forward to it. And the fact of the matter is, even as a parent, truthfully, sometimes despise it because we don't want to put our children through that pain. But the Bible tells me if I'm the right kind of parent, I chasten my child because I love them. I love them. And the fact of the matter is God loves you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And it is best for us to be chastened. So we're not to despise his chastening. We're to endure it. When we look at this, every experience then, or every trial, or every amount of suffering that God puts me through, he does so that I will be more holy. We know, as we've looked at the book of Hebrews, that Christ was perfected through what? Sufferings. Take your Bible and go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. I want to back up what I'm telling you here by the scriptures. Did I say not 10? I didn't mean 10. I meant 2. If I didn't say 2, I meant 2. Hebrews 2:10. That's where the 10 came in. The Bible says here in chapter 2, verse 10, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of what? One." In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, "But he who is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." There's our link with Christ. He became a man so that I can become a new man in him. So it says, to make us one, bringing money, to make us are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So if God made his son perfect through sufferings, then I must too learn obedience by the rod of God. And what did he have to learn? Jesus, in his manhood, he didn't mean he's not God. He is perfectly God and perfectly man. But in his manhood, he had to learn submission to the will of God. Submission to the will of God. This week I was reading Matthew chapter 26. And in the garden, Jesus went in the garden. And he said, nevertheless, let's look at it. It's Matthew 26. I don't want to misquote it. Matthew 26 and let's see here, 26:39. The Bible says this, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." What's the cup? Well, it is the will of God that he would die for our sins, that he would become sin for me. All right, who knew no sin. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And then he goes back to the garden again in verse 42, and he says, "And he went again and the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he went the third time, verse 44, and said the same thing, thy will be done." Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, the Son of Man, surrendered to the will of God. And by that obedience, the Bible says, we're made righteous. He became sin. He did the will of God. He did the will of God. And all of us have this part of us that doesn't want to do the will of God. That's the flesh. But we know in our spirit, we want to do God's will. And so, because we don't, he has to chasten us so that we will, saying, thy will be done. I want your will. I want your will in my life. So there's a close relationship then between suffering and the perfection of my character, between suffering and victory over sin, between suffering and God's love, between suffering and glory. In Christ, whom God's provided for us, he's able to sympathize with us. He knows the struggle that we have. But he says, I will help you. And he provides everything that I need to be holy, to submit to him. If I'll take my place, and if you'll take your place at the throne of the cross, throne at his throne, and your position in him, I have victory, and I can. I don't have to live a lowly life. I can live by His power. And what does the Bible say? This is the victory that overcomes one of our enemies, the world, even our what? Faith. So by faith, I have victory. And it goes back, and it corresponds wonderfully by what we've been looking at in Hebrews. We do have victory in Christ Jesus. So I'm not to despise God's correction. I'm to be glad that He chastens me. I'm to be glad. And what is, you know, if you were properly corrected by your father, did it make you say, oh, don't touch me, I don't want to? Did it do that? Huh? No, it didn't. And by the way, could I say this? When you chasten, don't use your hand. You've seen a dog that's been beaten by the hand. And what do they do? Back up. Use, God says, a rod. All right? But the hand is for caressing, for embracing. And when I would chasten my boys, I would use a rod. I would do what the Bible says. But afterward, I'd take my hand. I would love them. Okay? And God loves us. And He chastens us because He loves us. And it ought to draw us closer to Him because I know I'm His child. I belong to Him. So for you and I, we'll see that trials are God's appointments of love. Chastening is an appointment of love. And if I have the proper attitude, I'm going to be blessed by it. The blessing. So I'm not to despise it, but I'm to endure it. As He says there in verse number 7, if ye endure chastening, that means to suffer something painful or difficult. So how am I to endure it? The Bible says, patiently. Patiently I'm to endure the chastening. Now, in Hebrews, we've looked at some people that patiently endured. Think about Abraham. The Bible says when he patiently endured, what did he get? He obtained a boy, the promise, Isaac, right? He also, because he was faithful for his descendants, they got the land. Abraham never saw that it all belonged to the Jews, but God said it would, and he knew. Joseph patiently endured. He said, take my bones back with you because you're going to have that land. All right, 430 years later, and then 40 some on top of that, but before his bones even got buried there because of the wandering and unbelief, got there, and they got the land, didn't they? They obtained the promise, so they patiently endured. Jesus, he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, but because he did, what did he get? The throne. That at his name, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every single tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is God. He's King. He's Lord. To the glory of God the Father. He endured that and he got the promise. The promise. So the Bible says, I am to endure chastening. I'm to endure it and bear up unto it. And by the way, Brother Paul, he's right there beside me to help me, even in the trial. He gives me grace so that if I will patiently endure, I will get the promise. And what is the promise? It tells us right here. Partakers of His holiness. I become more like Him. That's what the final outcome is. I become like the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we get holiness and righteousness. And why is this? Well, let's look at Ephesians for just a minute. Ephesians chapter 4. Going backwards. Ephesians chapter 4. Here's the reason why I get that. Because this is what he says about us. And I'm going back to the foundation I laid at the beginning of class today. Ephesians 4 and verse number 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and, now he's talking to Christians here, in you all. We're one with Him. All right? And then verse number 24 says that you put on the new man, which after God is created in, here's these two words, righteousness and true holiness, not pretentious holiness, not it's real holiness, true holiness. So the benefit of enduring, patiently enduring the chastening of the Lord. And by the way, I think we should eliminate all secondary causes sometimes in our life. You know, we think, well, God's using Craig in my life, and boy, I just can't handle him. Well, the fact of the matter is, God's using Craig to chasten me so that I'll be better. I have to see God's hand behind. Eliminate secondary causes. It's not Craig, it's God using Craig to work on me. All right? There's people in your life that are prickly. And you say, well, I wish I could just get rid of that person. You know, I wish I just, and my life would be so much better. I'm not talking about husbands and wives here, by the way. But maybe there's a reason why you marry the person you marry too. I don't know. God had a hand in that. You know, he that findeth the wife findeth the good thing and obtaineth what? Of the Lord, yes. Okay. So that's a good thing. But sometimes these things that we want to eliminate, if this wasn't in my life would be so much better. Wait a minute. God's allowing that for a reason. Right. Why? Because he loves you. And because he wants you to be a partaker of his holiness. He wants you to handle it righteously. How do I do that? In my spirit. He's a good father. I accept it. I receive it. And I say, God, this must be your will for me. And I thank you for it. How often are we like the children of Israel and grumble and complain? Well, if this wasn't that one, murmuring and complaining, the Bible says, ooh, that's bad stuff. I live by faith. God is good. He's doing this in my life and I don't understand it, but I thank him for it because he loves me. And I patiently endure it, and what happens to me is I become more righteous. I become more like he is. Holy! That's the outcome. That's what he wants to see in my life. So this is a good thing. I am to endure it. Endure chastening. And I'm one with him, and the correction, when it's applied, makes me more like my Father. So my attitude in relation to correction or suffering should be, this is the will of God, and I'm to endure it, not despise it. Not say, oh, I don't like this, but endure it by faith. But the next contrast I want you to see is one of submission. Submission versus stubbornness. Verse number 9, he says, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And then he says, for they verily after a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. The Bible tells me I'm to be in submission, so subjection to God. Now, we already know by Hebrews that Jesus subjected himself to the Father. He subjected himself to the Father's will. And because he did so, oh my, we have benefited so greatly, haven't we? We have salvation. We are seated with Christ in the heavenlies already. We have access 24/7 to the tabernacle in heaven. And we can speak face to face to God boldly, boldly. And I know when I'm abiding in Christ, I can ask if it's in his will. And I know that I'll receive it. The people in the world don't have that. And the devil doesn't want you to know that you have that. He wants you to be ignorant of that. Because he wants you to think, oh, I just can't have victory. No, I just can't. You can. You can in Christ. And because of his blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that we're born again. Somebody just needs a shout or take a lap. This is good stuff. Maybe it's just a teacher because he's fired up. I don't know. But we're not to be stubborn. Jesus subjected himself absolutely to the Father's will. And am I any better than Jesus? No. See, and I know in my spirit how to do that. We all know that, don't we? So we submit ourselves to his will. And the life worth living is giving up to God and giving up in obedience to whatever he wants from my life. Whatever it is. And when we do that, we prove that humility and resignation are the sacrifices that God wants. When I give up to him, when I surrender to him, but because what is God? The sacrifice of God are a contrite heart, a smashed, broken, brokenness. And when I'm that way, oh, He gives strength. He gives victory. He gives me exactly what I need, everything that I need. And the wonderful blessing of this is when I surrender to Him in this manner, I gain. I don't lose. I gain so much more. And we please the Lord when we are like-minded like Christ. And we all know what that new man is. We all know what it looks like. But we don't display that as we ought to because we think we walk too fleshly. It's a spiritual birth, and we have to spiritually live. We do. We live that. So we're to be submissive to the trials of correction instead of being stubborn, because stubbornness leads to more severity of correction. You know, and Andrew's here, and I'm not making a public display of Andrew, but you know, when I chastened my children, when I had to do that, I knew when I was chastening them whether they were submissive to the correction or whether they were stubborn. And if you're a parent, you know that. You can tell by the cry. You can just tell by everything whether they're stubborn or submissive. Now, if they were submissive, it didn't take very much. Matter of fact, some children, all you have to do is reprove them, and they melt. But others, you have to use a little more instruction there to get them to that point of submission. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father knows you and me very well. And you know what may get to you in a correction doesn't work for me. So my correction is handpicked by Him. But the outcome, like I said, is the same. Holiness and righteousness. So I'm to submit to Him and allow Him to work in my life. And you all have learned so much in this class. But this is the practicality of it, of where you are in Christ Jesus and what you have in Him. And it's a spiritual thing. And you need to claim these things spiritually by faith. Lord, I am in You. And I have victory over the devil. And what is that? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. What am I doing? I'm resisting. I'm taking my place in the heavenlies where I belong. And sin shall not have dominion over me. He has to flee. He has to flee. You don't face the devil. You just go to the higher, Christ Jesus, and your place in Him, and you have victory. So let's not be stubborn. Let's be submissive to the correction. Now, he contrasts this here, because he says here in verse 10, he talks about the parents. He says, our earthly parents only could discipline us for a while. The Bible says a few days. Boy, when you were a child, did it seem like a few days? No. When we're kids, it seems like eternity before I'm 16 or 18 or whatever. It seems like a long time. But do you realize that chastening that you received to your parents was just a few days? Because it came to an end. Let me ask you, does your dad still chasten you, Rob? No, it's over. He doesn't have to do that anymore. But our Heavenly Father, it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime. He never stops chastening me. He does so because He loves me. And it will never end until I'm there with Him. Till I'm perfectly whole. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I will be perfect bodily and soul and spirit. I already am spiritually. I already am. I am holy because His seed is in me. All right? But He's going to complete the work. So the completion is when Christ comes and I receive and I'm resurrected and changed and made like unto Him and made like unto His glorious body. Wow. And we have the hope of the resurrection, which is in Christ Jesus. So He chastens us for our profit, the Bible says, because we are one with Him. So, you know, when I thought about that this week, I thought about what David said in Psalm 119, verse 71. He said, it's good for me. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So I'll know your word better. So I'll be your word better. I'll be it. Now, here's the great encouragement. How do we get through it? There's two words here that are really exciting, and they deal with faith in verse 11. The Bible says here, now no chastening for the present. Mark that word present. That would be now, in time. For the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, now here's the other word, afterward. What are we talking about afterward there? We're talking about eternity, aren't we? Eternity. Now versus eternity. There's what he says here, but it, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So chastening is God's messenger to lead me to a life and experience, making me fit in my inner man and fit for my upper when I'm with him, all right, there in the holiest of all. Now, chastening is no fun. It says it's not joyous. We know that. It causes pain and it hurts. All right? But for this reason, God gave us these two words, for the present and afterward. Okay? For the present. For the present. Faith that lives in the future is unseen. We realize that, like Brother Parker reminds us often, eternity. Eternity. The devil wants you to just think about now. And if the chastening now is all that we're going to get, Paul, I was like, oh, well, forget this. Why did I even get saved? You know, why did I even, you know, I don't like this. It's not joyous. It's grievous. But if I'll endure it patiently with my eye in the future, I can do this. How did Jesus endure the cross? He saw the future. He saw the throne. He saw you. All of us there. He saw us. He saw us as partakers of his divine nature. It wasn't just about him. It was all for me. And the throne where he is a good king. And he rules graciously. And he loves us immensely. So that's how Jesus endured. And I endure the now with my eye on eternity, saying, someday, as some hymn writer wrote, we'll be done with these troubles and trials. But I realize the troubles and trials that I'm going through are working something in me to make me more like Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. That's it. That's how I do it. So afterward makes present chastening bearable. It sure does. It makes it tolerable, knowing that there's a reward to be gained. And by the way, we know we're all going to meet at the judgment seat of Christ, right? And you're going to receive for that which you've done in your body, whether it be good or bad. Well, the chastening is to make sure that it's good, that I have reward when I get there. That's why chastening is good, because it makes me in time lay up treasure then for eternity. That's why it's good for me. So I can say, like James said, I count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of my faith worketh patience. And it says, let patience have her perfect work. Endure, because of reward. So the message of chastening is that it opens up a way by which I surrender my will. I surrender to God. And I leave the weights, like the first part of this chapter says, the weight and the sin which does so easily beset me. I have faith. I believe. The sin is unbelief. I don't want to be unbelief. I want to believe. Believe him. I enter into holiness as my portion, because God disciplines me to draw me closer to him. That's why he does it. William Law is a writer of long ago, and I can't even tell you when, but he had a great statement. I'm going to finish with that today. Here's a quotation from William Law. He said this: receive every inward and outward trouble with both your hands as a true opportunity of dying to self and entering into a fuller fellowship with your self-denying, suffering Savior. There's a lot in that. Let me say it one more time. Receive every inward and outward trouble with both your hands as a true opportunity of dying to self and entering into a fuller fellowship with your self-denying, suffering Savior. I've said this before. Every trial that comes in my life is Father filtered. It comes through his hand. And he loves me. And that's why he does it. To teach me and make me a partaker of his divine holiness. What a good God we have. I hope this helped you this morning. I hope you see something practical that you can take in your life. Victory over sin, over the devil, it's a spiritual thing. You are new in your spirit. Take your place in the heavenlies. Claim that position you have in Christ. You're his body. The devil has no power over that. He's crushed his head. Jesus has done that for you. And it'll help you in all of your life to live victorious and then endure. What you're going through, what you said this morning, I was thinking about this. Hey, he loves you. Claim the victory. Thank him for it. Say, God, we don't know how, but we trust you. And I know you're doing something in my life and in our family. And that's, we want you to be glorified. So we just surrender. We just surrender. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Brother, could you pray for us? Good Lord.